Having a great time with head basketball coach at Towson, Pat Scarry. We do want to talk to him about his program coming up, but we have to get into this NCAA tournament, a tournament I expect your Tigers to be a part of next year this time.
Good. That makes two of us in the room, and hopefully J3.
J's three, and I think all the faithful at Towson understand that that's where it's kind of heading. Kentucky, if you could scheme, we talked about the two teams in your mind, Wisconsin and Arizona could present matchup problems for them. If you could scheme it, I mean, is there anything logical you can do to beat a team like that? Because I really believe this Kentucky team is really good. They're the most talented team in the country, but I'm not certain if they're one of the five or six best teams I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that. Maybe. I don't. We'll see how it shakes out, I guess. But
if they lose, it doesn't take away from any of their prior accomplishments. We all have the understanding that anyone can lose a game.
It will in the history piece.
No question about it.
I here's what I think. To me, Wisconsin and Arizona, I think for there's three things you got to do, but they do two of them, I think. You know, that's who they are. They've got size, I think, to defend Kentucky, especially in the interior, both those teams. And then neither team turns the ball over much. That keeps Kentucky needs open court baskets. So with that said, I think they can make the game a grinder. How do you beat them? It's like anything. Hey, when you go back, Arizona beat Kentucky. They made those four shots with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, that you know, it's going to be that type of effort, I think, to beat the Cats.
I don't want to put you in a tough position at all, so throw that aside. But I think most people outside the state of Kentucky look at John Calipari as a villain. Do his colleagues in coaching view him that way? I'm sure there's some jealousy. There's some resentment. We all know how much money he makes and what his accomplishments are. But is there some sense that he's kind of this great villain? I know most people describe him, you know, good basketball coach, great salesman sort of thing.
I think he's like one of those. Coach Calipari is kind of way ahead of the curve as far as thinking outside the box. I think he's I think our industry obviously has a lot of jealousy, hatred, all that type of stuff. He's won everywhere he's been. What they've created down there from a marketing branding standpoint is you know, you could say it's ridiculous, brilliant, but they're so far ahead of everyone else. I keep thinking about Brett last year. They lose the national championship game to UConn. What a job UConn did. And all anyone's talking about the next couple of days is who's coming back for Kentucky. All this guy's coming. I mean, it's all about Kentucky. They weren't even the winners.
That's amazing. And he has this perfect system. We know what he built at UMass. And he does it and then leaves to the NBA where he struggles. And to me, that has to be noteworthy. Not that the same games. I don't think a coach from college football or college basketball needs to validate themselves in the NFL or in college basketball to say you're a good coach. I mean, Rick Pitino is obviously a great X's and O's coach. You've told me that so many times. Why hasn't worked for him in two NBA runs? I don't know. But he leaves after failing the NBA, comes to Memphis, builds that program, I don't know about from scratch, but...
I mean, quickly.
Quickly, very quickly. We know how it kind of ends there. And then he goes to Kentucky, finds the perfect program where he probably doesn't have to break the rules to get kids to come, and he can put his shine on an established power, and it's almost unstoppable.
And I think that's what he's done. I mean, Kentucky's a brand name. Kids want to go to Kentucky, but obviously Cal can coach, and he's elevated that. He's elevated that program. I think where he doesn't get enough credit this year is to take 8-9 potential draft picks and get them to buy into defense is where he, you know, because, you know, I think when defense is getting guys to commit to it and playing hard every day and drilling it, and, you know, they lead the country in field goal percentage defense, and everyone talks about just their talent, but those guys do play hard, so they've committed, they've got those guys to buy into that.
Frank Kaminsky, how good of a player is he?
He's fun to watch. He's really good. I mean, he's an NBA player, you know.
Lottery pick?
You know, I don't know, but seniors don't seem to get picked in the lottery, but he's going to make an NBA roster. He's got too much savvy and feel.
So now the league is punishing kids for staying.
Absolutely, yeah. I think they should be able to go right out of high school, personally.
We disagree. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the NBA saying we make our own rules. To me, the Hearst Corporation that I work for, they would never allow an 18-year-old to go on the radio. You know,
we let musicians and stuff.
That's
true.
I'm just saying they're allowed to make their own rules for whatever reason they want to make them. One year, what's the difference? I don't know.
I think
that's
they
a
should
big
stay
year
longer.
Maturity.
I think like with baseball, football, they have to stay longer.
If they decide to go, they have to wait till after their junior year.
I'd like to see that more because to me, guys would be closer to graduating. The guy that goes for 1 year is not very close to graduating. And to be perfectly honest, if you get drafted after 1 year, you're never a degree from college, which is obviously extremely important.
We're supposed to value
it. But then it's not going to get the same value of the guy that signed a multi-million-dollar contract in the NBA.
No. It's an interesting debate. That's, you know, one that I think... That's for another show. It's an important one. It's one we should take on at some point. To me, the one-and-done thing, I do sense right now, Coach Gary, that I watch these teams and I don't feel I know the players involved at all at the top-level programs.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, it's like, Krzyzewski's the good a coach as has ever been, and he absolutely ripped the thing when it first came out. He had a couple guys leave early, and he's got his best three players are all one and done guys. You've been forced at that level to adapt to that, and you have to take guys like that.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago where Coach K could say he had no one and dones.
Right, and now, I mean, he doesn't get as crushed for doing it as Calipari
does. by the way, did you see the I Hate Christian Laettner documentary?
I saw the beginning of it.
What are your thoughts on Laettner?
I just thought he was as good a college player as you talk about, a 4-year guy, a winner. It was a crazy scene, the fight that they had in the high school game, and he's running
that
off.
That was a crazy scene.
He's running off with his hands above his head. I mean, he won a lot. He was a perfect villain for what Duke supposedly is, but he usually won that guy.
I hate Duke, and Laettner's obviously the poster child, but to me, you look at those teams, holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, you think about their win over Vegas when Vegas was one of the truly great, great teams, and that was just a heck of a win.
Amazing. Let's grab a phone call here. Let's talk to Mike in North Baltimore. Mike, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Hi, guys. I enjoyed watching Towson play this winter. I had a couple questions for Coach. I enjoyed it. It looked like you had two or three freshmen that were pretty strong skill players in addition to your team. But my questions would be, first of all, how is it to try and teach the group coming in offense, and what do you have looking for next year in terms of recruits?
Well, those are great questions. It's funny. We felt like offense was behind defense for a while, but that's pretty normal. And with so many new guys it was really important to get them to defend, which we did. And I think our biggest struggles were obviously losing so many close games, which, I hate to use a cliche, but somewhat is a product of inexperience, especially starting, three freshmen and a sophomore. So I think what happens is we go into the off season. We started off season workouts today. We've got a nice 6.5-week stretch of them for our guys. We've tweaked some things in offense, and we've got to really focus on improving skill level.
How about recruits for next year?
Well, yeah, we've got signed a big kid early, Alex Thomas, 6'9" kid out of New Jersey that we're excited about. And we're going to sign got another guy in April, another front court guy. And we have two guys that sat out this year that had really good years for us. Jordan McNeil, a 6'5" guard from right here, Mount St. Joe's in Baltimore, and he made good strides. And then another kid, William Modo, who was a good player at Wake Forest. That's going to kind of give us that look that Benjamin had. He's a skilled forward. He's 6'7". He's 240 pounds and dribbles, shoots, and passes it. When you have guys that can do that, it helps you make like you know what you're doing on the sideline.
That's great. Hey, thanks for the answers.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. By the way, I came across my waiver wire. Jurrell Benjamin was picked up. Is he still in the NBA?
He's back with the Stampede. He's close. We heard a couple days ago the Nuggets might sign him. He's dominating the D-League.
Dominating.
Here's the one negative. When he got called up for a 10-day contract, the Jazz went 5-0. When you get called up, you need that team to lose because when they win, they're not going to put those guys in that they just called up. So he's right there. He's got to stay patient, stay with it, and he's going to get there permanently, I think.
In your opinion, I don't know if you've seen any D-level games. Is that could the proverbial, Kentucky went to the D-League, they'd probably win some games, I'm guessing, but...
There's some really good players.
Really good players.
Yeah, I mean, like, even on his team, it gave me a little bit of appreciation. I've seen a couple of his games, like, C.J. Fair is a terrific player locally, and Jurrell had a really good game against him, and you start looking on it like, wow, these guys are, like, player of the year, all conference, multi-year guys.
It's really amazing how many stars in this tournament are not going to make it to the NBA.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the D-League's a tough thing because they're close. They call guys up. Jarrell has turned down some very lucrative offers overseas.
I imagine.
I've told him to take them. But he's so close to reaching his dream that
you
respect. Yeah, so it's a tough decision for these guys because they're doing it for a career.
Right. By the way, Larry Brown's comments that Kentucky could maybe be an NBA playoff team on the Eastern Conference. That Eastern Conference is awful. I think the eighth team is going to be 8 or 9 games below 500, of course. Is that ludicrous?
Yeah, I just, the experience is, yeah, it's, I mean, Coach, you know, it'd take me 3 lifetimes to win the amount of games that he's won, but yeah, that's, I don't, you know, he was off kilter a little bit on that one.
I told you, though, I told Jay, if anybody knows, it's Larry Brown. Considering his background in the NBA in college.
But I told him there are guys in Kentucky who won't ever see the league.
True.
Think he's, I think they've battled on some kids. You know, SMU's done such a good job in recruiting in Kentucky. I think he's just throwing a little pressure on Cal a little bit.
Interesting. And then also, I was thinking about Anthony Davis, okay? That was only a couple years ago. He's a star right now. And I'm not sure if anyone on this Kentucky team is Anthony Davis. But that Kentucky team with Anthony Davis, they're going to win a couple of games. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team, but they're going to win a couple of games in an NBA season.
They're really good. Oh, this kid Towns is really good, though.
Yeah, he is.
Stein's going to be pretty good. They got a lot of guys.
But Davis is a freak show.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
He's an absolute freak show. 410-467-WBIL. We'll come back one more quick segment with Pat Scarry here on WBIL News Radio 1090.